And now, CFMB's simultaneous translation of Mayor Drapeau's famous farewell speech to General de Gaulle at the City Hall reception in Montreal.
The first speech will be Mayor Drapeau's address.
Avoir à prononcer
before
les dernières paroles publiques que vous entendrez,
saying the last words in public, which you will be hearing a few minutes before your departure from Montreal and from Canada. I know that this address is bound to be a challenge, especially as I know that it's often difficult, even in normal times, to express one's thoughts and special circumstances, it's also rather difficult to translate new ideas by using old words. But I'll quote an extract, an excerpt from one of the great masters of English literature, and say, as he said, that one shouldn't be afraid of words. The word dog has never bitten anyone. I know that what I'm saying now corresponds to what I intended to say to you at any time, any moments since your arrival at Wolf's Cove up till now. Because since Wolf's Cove up till now, there's been quite an explosion over here, a true explosion of a feeling which remains undefinable. This has been a true explosion, there's no denying it. The fact that it's undefinable cannot be denied either. You, with our population, have lived through historical moments. But what is this feeling that my compatriots have expressed? It cannot be a feeling of nostalgia. You can't be nostalgic after four centuries have gone by, and it's over four centuries ago that Jacques Cartier came over. It's over three centuries and a quarter that Paul Maisonneuve founded Montreal, so this cannot be nostalgia. We know full well that if we're happy to go to Europe and to visit France, we're not any the less happy to come home again, because this is where we've sent down our roots. And these roots are deeper in Canadian soil, as I showed you briefly when I showed you the 14 generations that preceded me in this land. The lists of their names being contained in two huge volumes. So this feeling cannot be a feeling of nostalgia. Can it be gratitude? Personal gratitude vis-à-vis Charles de Gaulle. Yes, and I'll come back to that. Gratitude towards France? Well, if we put the mere fact of putting the question may be an expression of doubt, because we've learned to survive alone during two centuries. And if there's a document in history which is representative of a particular fact in history, I think we should recognize that right down to you, Mr. President, without it always being a document, or always the same document, there have, however, been a whole series of documents, namely the successive signatures of presidents who preceded you, none of which, with the exception of one single man on a short visit some years ago, has ever attached as much importance as you have attached to the existence of French Canada, Mr. President.
Il ne s'agit pas de remonter
It's not a question of going back into history. I think all we need to do is be sure that everything I say is far removed from being a reproach in any way. But the fact remains that for centuries, a people here have had to undergo the difficulties, the vicissitudes of history. In trying to define the feelings expressed by my compatriots, I must say, however, that this cannot be nostalgia and it cannot be gratitude, because France, because French Canada, given the role it could have played in North America, has never drawn any true attention from France until your arrival here, Mr. President. So I think it might have been gratitude towards you personally, Mr. President. You saved France on two occasions, and that alone would have been enough reason for my compatriots to express their gratitude for this. But there's more than that. I didn't think on a first trip here. Our compatriots already expressed this gratitude, and on your second visit, I think my compatriots felt they should express the fact that they felt and recognized the analogy between the two situations and between the life of General de Gaulle in its context of French history, on the one hand, and the life of French Canadians in the context of French history again. You've renewed and saved France. Our ancestors, our parents, our grandparents saved French Canada. And now, just as France, under your direction, is resolutely turning towards the future, so has French Canada started to turn resolutely towards the future. There is here a parallel, an analogy, and if our population, if the masses don't always reason or are apt to feel rather than reasoning, to feel with their hearts, I think what they have felt is this analogy which in our population has given rise to a tremendous hope, the expression of which feeling you were a witness to, along with Madame de Gaulle. A tremendous hope, because we would not wish to undergo the vicissitudes we have already undergone in the past. We practiced the resistance before the word was ever invented, and if it were to be done again, we would do it again. Because if there is no if there's no feeling of gratitude to be recognized vis-à-vis the French people generally, or French history, there is gratitude, however, towards what the mother country has given us, its language and its culture and its virtues. I think these virtues have not remained dormant here. The language, the culture, the civilization of France sometimes had to be hung up in a shed in the backyard in French Canada while our people were busy working for mere survival, while more cultured people went back to France 2 centuries ago. But if this culture and the language were hung up in the back shed or in the backyard, it was only better to be maintained, better to be preserved. And people who continued to speak French and who continued to teach French did so entirely on their own. We must recognize that during 100 years or so, During four or five generations, that is, we had no relationship with France. But this teaching of French, do the public authorities in France know that this teaching of French and in French Canada, was once symbolized merely by the only old French grammar book that existed, that remained in French Canada, and which was read at the pulpit in church, and only religious communities were allowed to use them. And this is the sort of past we wish to avoid. We wouldn't want to have to start on this all over again, so that the hope that has been roused again by your second visit, we wouldn't want this hope to lead to disappointment. That is why this hope is accompanied by the expression of a certain wish, namely that all the other presidents in France will be like you and will share your faith in the existence of a French Canada. Why? Well, because French Canada has proved the fact that it can survive. But we're not satisfied. You've heard others say so much more convincingly than I can. We're not satisfied with mere survival. We know, we haven't forgotten that from one side of the ocean to the other, there have been people who've left French Canada. There have been ancestors who came over to French Canada. There's been an exchange. There have been people who settled in French Canada and civilized the country from one end to the other, and we know that there are still today martyrs of the French language. We cannot forget that even with our neighbors to the south, we know that we owe it to them to have founded certain important... We know that our neighbors to the south owe it to our ancestors, to some of our ancestors, to have had some of their cities built and some of their cultural centers created. We know this, and we cannot forget it. And we hope most ardently that the numerous and frequent relations which seem to be underway between France of today and French Canada of today, we hope that this will continue and that this support which you've promised us will continue under the inspiration of the same spirit which animated our ancestors when they went on board ships, of which we have a faithful replica at La Ronde, La Grande Hermine, Jacques Cartier's ship, to come here, not so much to draw short-term dividends from their settlement, but in order to open a new world to the benefit of an exportable civilization. We have been the guardians of this civilization alone, until the time of President de Gaulle's visit. Can we hope that this pioneering spirit, which still inspires us, can we hope that this pioneering spirit, which truly inspires this renewal in Quebec, this renewal in French Canada, and which gives it good reason to trust that we shall be able to play in our huge country, taken over by Cartier during the 16th century. Can we hope, as I was saying, that all of those who will come to help us accentuate this renewal of French Canada will also be animated, inspired by the same spirit, so that French Canada may better serve the whole of Canada according to the best means, the best-seeming formulas will better serve the whole of Canada, as I was saying, and the whole of the American continent. Because I feel that this extraordinary experience in Montreal, this phenomenon of the Universal Exhibition, which has drawn thousands and thousands of our American neighbors from the U.S. to Montreal, leads me to believe that they're discovering French Canada this year. They're discovering the presence of a people or a nation, call it what you wish, and are discovering a desirable presence of France in North America, on the North American continent. All this, Mr. President, leads me to saying things that I would probably have told you in private conversation. In any case, and that I don't think I should be blamed for telling you in public, because the void which we felt in the past as compared to the plenitude, the presence we feel during your presence here are such a contrast that I can only conclude from this that the support you have promised us will be the sort of support we wish for. Mr. President, I have been confiding in you, perhaps rather perilously, but I don't regret having spoken frankly, because when a person, an eminent person who's a high dignitary as you are, makes a visit such as yours, he comes here as a representative of his people, and how many of the French people really know as much as you do about French Canada. So when I say what I've been saying, it is to these people, to your people, Mr. Chairman, that I'm addressing myself. A man who has saved France in order to allow France to recover the place that belongs to France, not only in Europe but in the world, is bound to understand that French Canada also hopes to be able to be placed in the position it deserves, rather than have its place occupied by others. And it's because of the values we've inherited from our ancestors that we have never been afraid of challenges. And we feel it's possible for us to play in Canada a useful role, with all due proportion, a role that might be parallel in North America to the role played by France in Europe and for the whole of the human race. Perhaps one day our hopes might be even greater and open even more broadly towards the future. But whatever our hopes and whatever the way we serve our country, we are attached to our country. And if we serve our own French Canada better, we shall better serve the whole of Canada, and we shall better serve France and the whole of mankind. We can only be a bad copy of other countries if we do not try to continue the work we've already started and possibly have to continue doing it alone, as we've done in the past, but always constantly with the hope that the support we may hope to get will never be a threat to anyone, but will simply enable us to put an end to this state of mind that Abbé Groux, who forged the French-Canadian soul, described as follows when he wrote in 1937, I quote, "We belong to this little group of people. How many such small peoples are there in the world? 4 or 5 of them, perhaps, who have a special destiny. They have a tragic destiny. What they're anxious about is not so much the fact of whether they shall become happy or unhappy, great or small, but merely whether they shall survive, whether they shall be getting up tomorrow morning or whether they shall die. And it is this anxiety we wish to put an end to. And by expanding our aspirations, we hope better to serve the country of our ancestors, the country of your ancestors, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President." And now a toast to the President of France.